Good morning, and welcome once again to Monrovia Christian Church. We're so pleased that you have chosen to join us this morning via the web, and we pray that today will be a blessing for you. I'd like to let you know that this morning all of the biblical references are being read from the New Living Translation rather than the English Standard Version that I normally use. Will you please join me for a word of prayer? Abba, Father, we do thank you for today. Father, just now I come to you and I just want to thank you for this place and for this church and this community that you have placed us in. Father, may we be people with servants' hearts that desire above all else to be present. To be present in this place, but Father, more importantly, to be present every day of our lives in our community, living out the example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and a child of Almighty God. Father, we are living in a time, as you know, with many struggles, many uncertainties, and it's weighing heavy on the lives of many. But we thank you that you are not unaware, that you are intimately involved in each one. And so, Father, I pray this day that you would lift their spirits, that you would touch them, and that you would guide them and help them to navigate these very difficult times. That, Father, in all of it, they may see you and know that you are still God and that you are still on your throne. Father, for those that are struggling with health issues, we just ask that you would touch them. You are the great physician. Healing lies in your hand. We thank you for the precious gift of all the medical people and the first responders that are a part of our lives. But we recognize that ultimate healing is in your hands. So begin to touch them and bring that healing. Just now, Father, I ask that you would set me aside. I am just a humble and flawed servant of yours. And so I pray, Father, that you would take these words today, that they would be your words that you are speaking, that you would allow your spirit to take my efforts and magnify them so that your message is clearly heard by the hearts of all who hear it. So, Father, just now, would you help us to slow down for just a little while, to sit in your presence and to intently listen to the message that you have for us this day. I ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, please come now and share with us. In Jesus' name, again, we pray. Amen. One day, a British scientist came across a large ant hill in his garden. And these particular ants were ants he had never encountered before, and so he was eager to study them. Yet every time his shadow would fall across the hill of that the ants had built, those terrified ants would scurry away out of fear. I stepped back, the scientist would write in his journal, and sat down in the grass and began to reason about the problem. I had only goodwill for the ants. I didn't wish to do them any harm, but how could they be aware of my goodwill for them? My imagination played through the situation. To those tiny ants, I seemed like this all-powerful creature. Somehow up there, whose thoughts they could not guess and whose ways and intentions they couldn't understand. If only I could communicate with them, the scientist would go on to write, but that wouldn't help either. To the ants, I would still be this giant being. There's no way they could believe I would understand their problems. The minute organization of the hill, their struggle for food. their battle with other ants. Only one thing could give them the complete confidence they needed. And that was, if somehow, if in some strange alchemy, I could, for just a moment, become an ant. Sometimes I wonder if we aren't more like those ants than we recognize. That when we view God, we see God as this all-powerful, all-knowing being, so big and so far removed from us that there is no way, no possibility he could ever understand what we're going through. But the simple answer is, he can. Why? Because he was able to do what that British scientist could never do. God was able to step into time, to put on flesh, and to become man. Listen to the words of the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 2:14. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son has become flesh and blood, for only as human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. And now look down just a couple more verses to the 18th verse of that second chapter, and we find the Hebrew writer reminding us of this. Since he, Jesus himself, has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. God's not a father, and Jesus is not a savior that cannot sympathize with his children. In every trouble or struggle that we find ourselves confronted with. In fact, as we see in the words of the Hebrew writer, we have a father, we have a loving savior that can fully sympathize with us. Even in the midst of our 21st century challenges. That word sympathy is derived from two Greek root words. The first being sim, meaning together. And the second, pathos, referring to the feelings or emotions of an individual. Sympathy then describes when one person shares the same feeling as another. For example, I recall not too long ago a time when Bruce and I shared in close proximity the devastation of losing a father. Together, we could easily sympathize with one another. We knew the struggles that each was going through. However, there are things that you have probably experienced that I can only empathize with, never sympathize with. Why? Because as my life stands today, I have never walked where you have walked. I have never experienced what you are going through in this moment. I have a dear friend whose daughter was diagnosed at a very young age with inflammatory breast cancer. This type of breast cancer, as I understand it, is very aggressive, and it moves quickly into other areas of the body. Usually before it is discovered, it's already at a stage 3 or a stage 4 in its diagnosis. It is one which, as I said, spreads so fast to other areas of the body that causes its 5-year survival rate to be extremely low. Unfortunately, Tammy's had done exactly that before they found it. And so the doctors were not very optimistic as they shared with them the news. My friend Dick, her father, became her primary caregiver because his wife was still a teacher in the local school, and he was retired, and so he could devote that time. And so Dick would drive Tammy nearly every week from near Evansville all the way across the state to Louisville for her treatments. It was in those years that I had the opportunity to spend many hours with Dick, just listening. Empathizing, not sympathizing. Because I could empathize because I could see the hurt. I could hear it in his words. I could see it written on his face. However, the worst thing that I could have ever said to him as a friend is this: Dick, I know exactly how you feel. Because the truth is, I had no clue. I couldn't sympathize with him to the full extent. I could sympathize with him as a father who had a child struggling with an illness. Cindy and I had gone through that with our son. But Joshua got well, and he continues to do well to this very day. But Dick knew he was watching his daughter die. Nothing he could do was going to stop that. Now, there's some who could empathize with Dick because could only empathize with Dick because they had never walked where he was walking. But others, and some of you today, could possibly empathize with him because you have made that same journey. I, unfortunately, was just one who could empathize. Yet, we would later talk, and he would remind me that often he had heard me say this: I really don't know why God's called me to this local ministry, but I am sure that He called me. Later, Dick would remind me of those words, and he would say this: I know why God called you here. Because if you hadn't been here, I wouldn't have been able to make it. And it wasn't because I could sympathize with Dick, but it was because I was willing to be present in his life, to be there just to listen, to be there to love the way Jesus loves, to just be present. It may sound like I'm rambling and you're wondering, Richard, where are you going with this message this morning? Well, earlier this week, at the start of this week, I was blessed to be able to attend a spiritual formations retreat in the Great Smoky Mountains. The theme of this particular retreat was the significance of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, God with us, or God in us. It was a time of quiet and study that it occurred to me, as important as this truth has always been, maybe at no time in my life, and maybe in your life, has this truth served to bring great peace in this year of 2020. A year filled with questions of what else could go wrong, or what's next, and can I handle it? I remind you that we are not in this alone. All we need to do is look to the one who gave his all for us. His greatest desire is to be with us, to walk with us through both the good times and the bad times and the hard times of struggle. Yet I, and likely you, and certainly the psalmist, continue to ask, why would a God care about me? Why would He give the least moment of time to even think about me? Well, first of all and foremost, it's because He loves us beyond all measure. He loves us unconditionally. Because He is our Abba. He's our Father. And while this may make some of you uncomfortable, He's our Daddy. He's real. And He's compassionate. And He desires to be present in our lives. Galatians 4:4, the Apostle Paul reminds us of that very truth. As he shares with us in Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. As children of Almighty God, He has more than simply given us a sense of belonging to Him. He's done something that no one else could possibly do. As much as I want to be present every moment of every day in the life of my wife, in the life of my children and my grandchildren, and all those who I care deeply and dearly for, it's humanly impossible for me to do that. Yet as Paul reminds us here, God's love loves us so much that He, in an unbelievable way, has become incarnate in us. God with us, by filling us with His Spirit, so that we can shout the words, "I am no longer a slave of fear. No, I'm a child of God." He longs for you to know His presence dwells in your life and even in your circumstances. That He is fully aware of what you are currently going through and struggling with, because He Himself has experienced it as well. Look again at the words of the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. "We also know that the Son did not come to help angels, but He came to help the descendants of Abraham," you and me. "Therefore, it was necessary for Him to be made in every respect like us, His brothers and sisters, so that He could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then He could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since He Himself has gone through suffering and testing, He is able to help us when we are being tested." God didn't become incarnate through His Son for just a select few of holy and righteous people. The Hebrew writer tells us that He did it for us, for all the descendants of Abraham. And the Apostle Paul reminds us it is not merely the offspring of those of Abraham who are blood, have a blood tie to Him that are descendants. Rather, it is those who seek to honor God through obedience as true children of the King. The mark or seal of the family line is, as Paul reminds us and the Galatians, evidenced in God joining in us. The indwelling of His Son, Jesus, within our hearts. It's hard sometimes to wrap our mind around this, but it is once again Jesus, in a sense, taking on flesh as He indwells us. Paul would say in his letter later to the Galatians, "Having surrendered my life," actually what he says, "having been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who lives, who animates this body, but it is Christ who lives within me." So when troubles come, you need to understand, you need to believe, you need to trust, because God's word is true. You are never alone. Christ is present, helping each of us navigate those very trying times. You may say, but Richard, can Jesus possibly really understand the struggle I'm having right now with my family? Yes. And you know why? Because He lived it. Jesus lived through family struggles. Recall the story of Jesus as a young boy, and He traveled with His mother and father to Jerusalem. When they were done in Jerusalem and they began their trip back home, and they made camp for the night, Mary and Joseph could not find Jesus. They searched the entire caravan looking for Him, and they could not find Him. And so they immediately go back to Jerusalem, and they spend days looking for Jesus until they ultimately find Him in the temple, talking to the learned men of that day. I envision this really not going very well for Jesus, to be honest with you. Mary, knowing full well exactly who Jesus is, still frantically searched, as any mother would, for her lost son. And when she found Him, I picture this. I picture her running to Him and grabbing Him in her arms and just holding Him tight for just a moment. And then I see her as a mother setting her son down and wagging her finger in his face and saying something like this: "Don't you ever do that to me again. Do you know how scared your father and I were for you? We thought something terrible might have happened to you. Have you ever noticed Jesus' response in that minute, in that moment? Jesus' response was kind of this. Why? Why were you worried? You knew who I was. Why were you worried? Maybe you thought, well, my family doesn't get me. They can't understand why I want to be this or I want to be that. Can Jesus possibly understand a family situation like that? And again, the answer is a resounding yes. On another occasion, Jesus is having begun his earthly ministry, has been traveling around the region of Galilee and Judea, and he's been teaching and he's been performing all these miracles. And one day he returns to his hometown and a crowd begins to form. And in that crowd are some of the religious leaders. And they began to accuse Jesus of being possessed of Satan. And you would think that his family, who knew him best, would come to his defense. But they didn't. You know what they said? Look with me at Mark 3:21. And when his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. He's out of his mind, they said. How many of us have said or possibly heard a comment like, my parents just don't understand me. They have no clue what I'm going through. I want you to know Jesus understands. His family thought he was had totally lost his mind, that they wanted to take him away and lock him away. Take courage. Jesus has been where you are right now, and he understands what you're feeling. In fact, he is there again with you. Lean on him. He will help you navigate these times, and you can trust him to lead you in the right path, one that restores your relationship with your family. Why? Why can you trust that? Because he has been there before, and he will undoubtedly go there again for you or for someone else. Maybe it's not family, but close friends and confidants that have let you down after you've placed your trust in them over and over again. You're thinking, surely Jesus doesn't understand that. He didn't suffer that. Surely no one would ignore or reject the Son of God. Oh, but they did. He was, and not just by anyone, but by some of those who were closest to him during his time of ministry here on this earth. Remember Judas Iscariot, a man who spent every day of his life for nearly 3 years with Jesus. You don't spend that much time with someone whom you don't count a friend. And yet Judas would turn and he would go and betray him to the authorities that would ultimately lead to Jesus' trial and crucifixion. But it wasn't just Judas that did that. The others would abandon him that night as well. They were in the Garden of Gethsemane when the guards came to arrest Jesus and take him to stand trial in the middle of the night. Matthew, in sharing his account of these events, would tell us that at that point, all the disciples departed him and fled. They abandoned him in his hour of greatest need. Mark records in his gospel that one of them was so in a hurry to get away that when he was grabbed in his haste, he slipped out of his linen covering and ran away naked. And don't forget Peter. Peter, one of Jesus' closest confidants, one of the inner three with James and John, would that night deny even knowing Jesus, not once, but three times. Yes, Jesus understands the pain of being let down by friends. But if he is present, if he is incarnate in your life, he will never leave you. His presence is with you, and that is a guarantee. Guarantee he will never leave you, with one caveat. Your willingness to freely surrender to his lordship. And he will guide you through even the most loneliness of times. In this time of pandemic and worry, we may be asking, can God possibly understand all of the anxiety, all of the stress, all of the concern and the pressure that we're under? And once again, I would have to answer that with a resounding yes. Not only can he does. When the time had finally come for Jesus to complete the mission for which the Father had sent him, we find in the Scriptures that this burden began to weigh very heavy on him, even to the point that he prayed to his Father that the burden might pass from him, not once, but three times. Luke 22:44, he prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. This year of the pandemic has been, without a doubt, one of the most challenging times in the life of many of us. Data from recent studies shows an increase in distress, anxiety, and depression, particularly among healthcare workers and other first responders and caregivers. These, in addition to violence, alcohol use disorders, substance abuse, and feeling of loss, are important factors that can increase a person's risk of choosing to take their own life. Jesus wants you to know he understands your struggles. He's been where we are with that heavy weight of burden hanging over him. He's walked in our shoes, and because of the Father's constant presence with him, he was able to overcome them. He and the Father were always present together. And he wants us to know that we can truly know this same presence in our lives today. Not just a warm feeling, but actually know, actually experience the presence of God in our lives. He longs to be a part of your everyday, ordinary life and mine, celebrating the joys that come with it and joining us in the midst of the struggles and the great sorrows that undoubtedly will be a part of it as well. He is a constant. He is a shoulder that we can lean on and cry upon when necessary, a place where we can go and find comfort and hope and security. And once we have that, we're encouraged to offer the same to others. 2 Corinthians 1:4-7 reads, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When we are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God has given us. Oh, there's so much in there to unpack, but let me just leave you with this thought. God longs to be present in your life and mine. His greatest desire is that we know him, and he has promised to be with us always. His presence is the incarnate Christ living in me and in you. So allow me to leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul, who certainly knew trouble and difficult times, and yet he poured himself out for the cause of Jesus Christ. And he knew that God was ever with him. Paul, writing in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, tells us two rock-solid truths. First, he tells us that if God is for us, who can be against us? And secondly, and I believe of the utmost importance, Paul leaves us with the promised presence of Almighty God at all times in our lives when he says, nothing can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ. Nothing. But it begins with our willingness to surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to be obedient in Christian baptism, to allow that indwelling present, that incarnate Christ, to become a part of our lives, living within us. If you don't know Jesus as Lord today, I would love to have the opportunity to talk with you. I encourage you, please give me a call here at the church this week. And if I'm not available, I'm sure we can connect you with an elder or a leader here at the church or another staff member who would love to share with you and talk with you. If it's just been a rough week and you need someone to pray with you, or there's someone in your family or a need in the community that needs to be committed to prayer, again, I would encourage you, we stand ready to pray with you. Give us a call here at the church, and if we can, we'll pray with you right there on the phone. If not, we assure you that we will lift up your concern in prayer. And if there is a need in the community that you are aware of, would you please give us a call and let us know? Because we want to love, plain and simple. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this community. And we stand ready to serve wherever and however we can. Please have a wonderful and blessed day in our Lord. Would you please pray with me? Abba, Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for that incarnation, Christ becoming flesh, God becoming flesh. But Father, more importantly, thank you for the truth that that happens every day in the lives of your children, that you dwell within them, that you have once again, in a sense, taken on flesh because you are a part of our lives. Father, for those that don't know you, I pray that something that was said today or shared this day or even this week might touch their hearts. Allow your Spirit to begin to move within them, to draw them closer to you and to draw them closer to that understanding of their need for your indwelling presence in their life. Father, be with us as we go out this week. May we love, plain and simple. May we be the hands and feet of our Savior, offering the comfort that He has offered us to all those that we come in contact with. I ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.